Let me read you some of the Lord Jesus' own words, which have been very dear to Christian people. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our Lord Jesus promised to come back again. And this has been the blessed hope, as it's called in Paul's letter to Titus, all down through the past centuries. However, there is some confusion on this subject of the return of the Lord. I should like to try to help you a little with it. We want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. And I believe that we have to differentiate between two stages of the return of the Lord if we're going to understand this subject. Although there are those who say that there will just be a great blow-up at the end, that'll be the end of the world and the coming of the Lord and the final judgment, and everything will take place at once. But careful students of the Scripture discover some passages that we can't explain if we accept that. We believe that the Lord Jesus is going to come, first of all, to receive those who are His own. Now, we don't mean by this that we think there'll be the second and third comings of Christ. We simply speak of these as two stages of the second coming. Let me give you an illustration. Back in the days of the Roman Caesars, whenever a Roman emperor went out to war and conquered another nation, of course he had to have a big celebration, a triumphant entry. And so he came back to Rome, but not all the way into Rome. He stopped at a small city outside of Rome, and there he was met by his immediate family, his favorites, his courtiers, those who were associated with him, his great generals, and so on. And there they formed a procession and came on into Rome as a triumphant conqueror. Now, nobody said that he came home twice, but he just came and met those who were close to him outside and then came on in. Now, we believe this is what's going to happen. And if you read such passages as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last part of the chapter, and the last half of 1 Thessalonians 4, I think it'll be very clear to you that we who know the Lord are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Then we read in the book of Zechariah and many other Old Testament passages, as well as New Testament passages, about our Savior coming back to the earth, His feet touching at the Mount of Olives, His setting up a kingdom, and so on. Now, the first stage of this coming, for convenience sake, we call the rapture. The old use of the English word rapture means catching up. When a person is enraptured, he's just almost floating on air, you know, he's out of this world. Well, the rapture is going to be literally that. The Lord Jesus is going to catch us up to meet Him in the air. Then the second stage of His coming we call the revelation. For then, as the lightning shines from one side of the sky to the other, the Lord Jesus will be revealed and everybody will see Him. Now, you won't find any hint of the rapture in the Old Testament for the simple reason that the church isn't revealed in the Old Testament. And, in fact, the rapture, we believe, is secret anyway. It's not for the world. That could take place at any moment. I don't know of a single unfulfilled prophecy to hinder the Lord Jesus coming before I finish this broadcast. He could come any time. And I believe we ought to be looking for him momentarily. Now, if you don't think the Lord is coming for 10 years or 100 years, you can't be looking for him today. But the Lord taught us to be looking for him, to be expecting him moment by moment. He hasn't told us the time, and anyone who predicts the time of his return, the hour and the day, is being very foolish. And you're being more foolish if you believe them. But there are indications of the very imminent nearness of the Lord's return. I can't go into that now, but there's a great deal to make us believe that he's right at the very door, right at the threshold. You know, when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's just coming for believers. He's just coming for those who have trusted him. He's just coming for those who are redeemed with his precious blood. Will you be among those caught up? Have you trusted him? Have you accepted him? Well, you say, I'm certainly not what I ought to be, and neither am I. But if you've trusted the Lord Jesus, you're going to go, brother, sister. At that shout, that trump, the Lord Jesus is going to call us to his side. All believers are included. There's no such thing as a partial rapture taught in the Word of God. There's nothing in the Scripture to indicate that the church will be left here to go through any part of the Great Tribulation. He's our bridegroom. He's our rewarder. He's our blesser. Just as the high priest came out from the presence of God to bring a blessing to the people, the Lord Jesus is going to come in like manner as he was seen to go into heaven. And we ought to be looking for him moment by moment. Now the rapture will be followed by 7 years. 7 years on earth will be called, properly the first half of that will be called the beginning of sorrows and the last half of it the Great Tribulation. But we usually refer to the whole 7 years as the Great Tribulation, a judgment time, the day of Jacob's trouble, judgment for Israel and the nations here on the earth. Now during that time, believers are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether you're saved or not. You won't even be there if you're not saved. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb. When everything has been cleared up and we've been rewarded, we've received our crowns and authority and so on, then we'll be united to the Lord without spot or wrinkle in that wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb described in the book of the Revelation. Now, following the Great Tribulation, at the end of that time, when the Antichrist has been in power and has persecuted the believing Jews, and there's been a terrible time on this earth, suddenly the Lord Jesus shall come, and in the Revelation, the whole world will see him as a conqueror. He came the first time as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When he comes back to this earth the next time, he'll come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He'll come as the judge. That's why we read that those who have not believed on him will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him who sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. He's going to come back as a king. Our Savior was born king, but he was rejected as king and crucified with the title over his head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But when he comes back again, he'll come as the king to sit on the throne of his father David. He'll come as the Son of Man to take the throne that he deserves and rule over the world and to be the judge. God has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man, according to the 5th of John. And he will come as the Son of God to rule over the whole universe, according to Hebrews 1. So the Lord Jesus is coming in power and great glory. The Old Testament scriptures prophesied of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Well, now he came the first time and suffered. He's coming back the next time. And he's going to be glorified. It'll be a sad time for those who are without Christ. It'll be a wonderful time for all of us who have received Him, because then we too are going to come into the kingdom. You see, the Lord said, as I overcame and am sat down on my Father's throne, so those who overcome will be permitted to sit down with me in my throne. Part of the rewards given to faithful Christians will be authority over cities in that coming kingdom. He'll establish a kingdom that will last through 1,000 years of this earth, and then at the end of the world, the new heavens and the new earth will see His kingdom go on eternally. There'll never be any end to this. Well, isn't it wonderful to know He's coming back? Would you be ready if He came just now? Not because of what you've done, but because of what He has done, because you're resting in His finished work, because you're trusting Him. The Lord help you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ really finished the work, paid your debt, put your sins away, opened the way for you to be eternally happy with Himself, and that He loves you, and when you trust Him, He counts you as one of His own, and He has gone to prepare a place for us. And He's coming back to receive us to Himself. Won't that be wonderful? I hope He comes very, very soon. I hope you're ready when He does come. Shall we bow our heads and speak to Him in prayer? We thank Thee, our blessed Lord, that Thou hast come in answer to Old Testament prophecies, hast suffered and died and paid our debt. Now we thank Thee that we're looking for Thee to come back again. Help us to live day by day as those who really expect Thee. We ask Thy blessing on those who have not trusted Thee yet, that they may do so soon. And we pray that all Thy dear children will be happy in the prospect of soon seeing our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.